important this particular topic is. And the reason for that is there's nothing that happens in the Christian faith apart from faith. Now, grace is a part of that, and the grace is actually the unmerited blessing we have from God, something we can't earn, we can't deserve, we can't work for. But faith is also a gift. And one of the things about this gift of faith, God wants us to use it. So let's begin by saying this about you. I want to talk to you about yourselves. God created you for His purpose, and you're called and called to do whatever you're called to do. Now, that sounds pretty complicated, right? But what we're saying is God loves you. He predestined and saw you before the foundation of the world. He called you, and then He called you to do something, right? What is it? Well, that's your purpose in life. That's your purpose for existence. So many young people today, especially, are trying to find their way in this culture that we have where it's upside down, and they know things, they can just sense things are wrong. And I read an article recently that one of the hopes some people are looking at is our high school kids, that they're beginning to reject this whole woke situation. Why? Because it's just crazy. It doesn't make any sense. It goes against your inner understanding. Why is that? Because God put an inner understanding in you to know right from wrong. And they say, well, we have a hope in that. I have a hope in that too, that we're going to see more and more people just turn away from all of this nonsense and get back to where they ought to be, back to God. So you're called to do whatever He called you to do. Now, and I say to you, you're called. We're doing a little bit of a review here. You know, you have to realize that means that you're important. And you may not look at yourself as important today, but you're very important. I was thinking about this week, and very quickly I'll say that church attendance, for example. How important is that? Just to be here when we gather together on a Sunday morning. Many people have gotten very lazy since COVID, and it's, you know, they come once in a while, they come when it's convenient for them. But to me, I see this, when you come, how do you know what's going to happen on that day? I see inevitably people come in, young people come in, and then our young people aren't here on that day. So they look around and say, there's not many young people here. And then other people come in, and other people are missing that could connect with them. And even that connection that happens when we're here on a Sunday morning and shake hands and meet one another out in the lobby, these are the kind of things that make the church. Who knows? Maybe they're coming to find a friend. And maybe you need a good friend right now. So my point is, everything you do is important. Now, see, we're here for teaching today. And we're here to do several other things. Communion today, to remember the Lord's sacrifice, and now the Word of God. But we're also here to support one another and pray today. That's very important. So God, as I said, called you before to a very important position in His kingdom. Romans 8 and verse 29 says, "For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, so that He would be the firstborn amongst many brethren." I want you to think about that. He's given you purpose right there. One of the things He's called you to do is to be conformed to the image of His Son. Now, His Son, if you would think about it this way, Jesus tells us what a human being is supposed to look like, how he's supposed to act, how he's supposed to feel. He also tells us how much God loves us. So when you think about it this way, what does God want? He wants a lot of people with wonderful personalities, different personalities, but what He wants from us is that we become more and more like His Son, so that He can live through us and relate to others. So that's a calling. It's not going to happen by accident. It's something that you have to make an effort, and you have to know how to get from point A to point B. It's an important thing to learn that, because that's how people grow up in Jesus. They just don't hang out in the church building for 50 years and then grow up. As one guy said, you know, it's pretty difficult when you get out there now and you got to push the bottle through the whiskers to try to get the baby bottle through the whiskers to get the guy's attention. And what is he saying is there's a guy that grew up in the church. There's a guy that's 70 years old, 60 years old, and what? He's still a baby. And he could have been in church a lot. He had to transform. He didn't transform. He's just the same old guy, the same old Bill, all right? Now, let's continue here for a moment. The second thing he did is he justified us by grace through faith. And all he justified, he called to walk by faith. This is an interesting thing. It's so simple, folks. Just remember the day that you came to know that hole inside of your heart that was spoken of earlier, that hole was a space for Jesus, that God had a purpose for you. And you sought to find out what that was, what was missing in your life. And you found out what was missing in your life was the very reason for your existence, Jesus Christ. And when you received him into your life, into your heart, it made a big change. You became a new person on that day. On that day, everything was wiped out. All of the past sins, no matter what you did before, that's gone. It's buried. It doesn't exist anymore. And what happens now? A new life begins. And you have to remember, it's a new life beginning. So what do you do when you have a brand new baby? You don't take the baby home, put him in the little castanet and say, oh, look, isn't that a wonderful baby? I mean, that baby's going to cry a little bit. That's telling you something. Some would say he's telling you he's hungry. He might be, or she might be wet, whatever it may be. So then you tend to the baby. Then you feed the baby. And you feed them, they get bigger and bigger. And then, unfortunately, they become a teenager. And now the parents have to use all of the grace that they can get from God, all of the wisdom that they can possibly need, because they need to raise this new baby that is big and thinks it knows everything. In fact, even knows how mom and dad should live and what they should believe. It's really funny. How that happens, I don't know. I can't imagine, you know. Although I think I was like that myself. And so we went on to say that the two main scriptures for our mission here at Amherst Christian Church is that the one from Galatians 4:9, which is, I am again in labor. I am again in labor that Christ be formed in you. And that, why is that? Well, Corinthians 1:28 says that we may present every person complete in Christ. Now, there are two simple scriptures, and I'm going to challenge you this morning. What am I going to challenge you about? To take some time in these two scriptures, to talk to the Lord about them, to see actually what's in these scriptures. For me, at this point in time, I can share this. There's more in those two scriptures than I could have ever imagined when God placed them in my heart. Why? Because if you are conformed to the image of Christ and Christ can live through you, just think about how you change, the people around you are changed, and your impact of bringing Christ into the world is of changing power of God, the gospel of the kingdom of God. It changes everything. And it's not just that you're better, but it's that you now are becoming the person that you were meant to be. See, we're incomplete. And even if you looked at Ephesians 5 and you looked at the marriage thing, you'll notice that there's this shaping that the husband is supposed to be washing the bride with the words that is spoken. Jesus, actually, it's metaphor. Speaking of Jesus, how he continually cleanses and prepares his bride for him, making her perfect without spot, without wrinkle or anything. Cleaning them up. And that's part of what he does. Now, if people are being transformed, now, just like I said, it doesn't happen automatically. You have to be in a transformational process. Now, everybody seems to find some sort of a process. In other words, some read a chapter a day, two chapters a day. Other people do this, other people do that. Everybody has kind of their way with God to do that. But I have spent, and I do not kid you on this, at least 15 years thinking about this, working on this, because I know this. We have to have a process where people can grow up. We have to have a way of coming to people and say, listen, if you can come and meet with God in this kind of a situation, and if you can learn how to hear the voice of God, and if you can walk because you love God in the obedience to God, in other words, obey him. You know, when God shows me something wrong in me, I'll tell you what, we stop right there. That's got to change in me. That can't continue in me. If he's pointing out something that needs to be worked in me, I need to let him work. And you know what? Sometimes I'm helpless. It's just been ingrained in me over the years or whatever it may be that happened. Maybe it was an incident that happened in my life and changed me, gave me fear or whatever it may be. And now I'm there. What can I do? Well, you need to know how to wait on the Lord now and get before God so that he works that in you. And by faith, you believe God to make the transformation, the change in you. Because what you can't do, the Spirit of God can do in you, if we'll let him. Very important. So now let's move on here, if we're in that process. So again, we're all called to grow in the fullness of Christ. Now I'm going to move down here for a moment and say that in our reading from Brother Whalen this morning, I think as he was going through the verses and some of the songs, the same thing today, they really were kind of hitting home with the message that God has given me for today. But one of the things is that God has given us his son and has done this work and paid a terrible, terrible price for us. In other words, we were bought with a price that we could never pay, a debt, you might say, that we had, that we could never pay that debt. And we could never redeem ourselves, make ourselves right with God. We needed a redeemer. And that redeemer, the only one who could redeem us, is Jesus Christ. There is no other redeemer. No matter what people will tell you, they have all of these religions, and we're watching the one world religion come together right now. But I want to tell you, only Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God and God himself, God the Son, only he could pay the price and take the punishment for your sins so that you could be clean and declared righteous before Almighty God. And as was said here today, I can walk right into the throne room of God, Ephesians 4:16. I can come right into the throne room of God boldly, it says. Why? Because I'm covered in the blood of Jesus. Because God sees me in Christ. Now, that's enough for kind of our review for today. But I want to talk about faith now. So as I said, faith, everything is by faith. Well, where does faith come from? How do we get it? When do we get it? When do we receive it? And I'm going to take a very simple approach today in looking at this. And the title of our message is The Journey of Faith. It's about journeying with God. And I'm going to give you some things that, we'll just give you what God's given us. Romans 12:3 says, "For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought, but to think as to have sound judgment, For God has allotted to each what? A measure of faith. God has allotted to each. So in other words, when you were born again, God gave you, a lot happened on that day in an instant. Think about it this way. If you've ever seen that Miracle of Life video, it's old. But if you ever could see, when that egg is fertilized, it's inexplicable. But in an instant, there's a flash of light. Of course, the light of the world has created us. There's a flash of light, and then in an instant, every single gene in your body is set for you to grow up. How tall you're going to be, the color of your hair, how smart you'll be. Every single thing that is going to be in you as a human being happens in this split second. And nobody knows why. It's just amazing. And you might say you're handcrafted by God. So, that's the first thing. But it says here, each has a measure of faith. Well, what do you do with that measure of faith? Well, I don't have much faith, people say. Well, you just believed in God, didn't you? You just believed in Jesus, and the Father saved you, and you have had a born-again experience, I hope, and now we're going to go into a conversion experience. We're going to let God work in us and convert us into the image of Christ, so to speak. So what's to happen now? Well, we'll get to that. And he goes on in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 15. Not boasting beyond our measure, that is, in other men's labors, but Paul speaking about his work, with the hope that as your faith grows. So there's a measure of faith, and now we have a statement here, as your faith grows. So we know something else. We know that faith can what? Grow. Absolutely. So, well, how does it grow? Well, let's take a look and see if Jesus has given us any hint here. Well, Jesus said in Luke 17, and the Lord said, if you have faith like a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. So how much faith do you need? Just a mustard seed. You know, I was at this church one time, and they gave out mustard seeds, and I thought it was a great idea. It was a conference. I came back, and I went down to the local store, and I bought a bag of mustard seeds. Now, some of you remember it, and we got these little bags, and we made hundreds of bags of mustard seed, and I took one, and I stuck it in my Bible against the leather, you know, just pasted it right in there, and there it was. And I had a little bag of mustard seeds. And I thought, this is such a great idea. We can see how little the seed is, and you know what? I don't know that anybody ever grew in faith by putting a bag of mustard seeds in their Bible. But it seemed like a good idea at the time. But the whole point is you need to do something with the mustard seed. And I'm not suggesting that you put it in a little bag and paste it in your Bible. That's not what God wants us to do with it. He wants us to take that mustard seed and turn it into what? Let our faith grow. So he goes on here to say, this, if you have that mustard seed of faith, it'll do. What do you do with the mustard seed? Well, Jesus has something else to say about faith, kingdom of God. It's like a mustard seed, which a man took and threw into his own garden, and it grew, and it became a tree, and the birds of the air nested in its branches. Okay, so you have to throw your mustard seed into the garden or plant it. You can't just keep it in your Bible. You can't walk around with your mustard seed. You've got to take that mustard seed that's in your heart and throw it and plant it. Now, what's your garden? This is very interesting because as I was praying and I looked at this, I'm saying, plant it in my garden. I got to throw a mustard seed in my garden. Well, that makes sense, Lord. Unless you plant it, it's not going to grow. And I said, but what's my garden? And the Spirit of God just came on me just and said, I'm your garden. What? Yeah, Isn't that what Hebrews is all about? Basic fundamental teaching, faith towards God. We cast our seed into God. We put our trust in Him. In other words, we begin to walk with God step by step in the different things that come into our life. And as we do that and go through some of these little difficulties, overcome some of these different things, learn different things because of our walk with Him, the next thing that happens, our faith is growing. And we're growing in God Himself. Now, I never would have thought of that. I look at that and I just said, how simple is that? That I put my seed in Christ Himself. And that's what I have to do. That's where my faith has to be in God. I have to watch out that I don't get moved by my great talent or my great ability or my lack of them and then become a failure. But instead, I put it in the one who has everything that I could possibly need and you could possibly need. That can do what you can't do at all. That's the Lord God Almighty, our Lord Jesus Christ. So, if you take that away from it, you say, well, how do I do that? Well, a little bit of trust. We have to continue on here for a moment. Now, how does growing in faith roll out in the believer's life? How does it happen? I kind of gave you a little hint as I got excited about, you know, what God's giving. Because Romans says that the just shall live by faith. Romans 1:17, and Romans, the first four chapters of Romans, going into five, are all about justification by faith. In other words, how we became right by faith, that God was able to justify us, and not by works of the law. As a matter of fact, he said, whoever lives by the law, they're going to be judged by that same law. That law cannot save them. It's going to bring them death because they can't do it. They can try, but they can't. Why? Because you always mess up. You have thoughts that come into your mind that you entertain, that you shouldn't entertain from time to time. Maybe they're anger. Maybe they're greed. Maybe they're jealousy, whatever it may be. All of these things. Well, that's sin. To think on the things you shouldn't think about, that's sin. You see something that needs to be changed, but you don't change it, that's sin. Called the sin of omission. You had an opportunity to make something right and you didn't do it. I mean, by the time you're done, we do about 30,000 sins a month, you know, whatever it may be. There's a lot of sinning going on just because of our lack of being like Christ. And it's just common with humanity. That's why God's growing us up. So, when we consider that, we really need the righteousness of God. But the righteous man, you say, well, now I'm right with God. Okay, all set. Hey, I have entrance into the throne room. I'm right. But God says now you have to do something else. I expect you to live by faith. It says the righteous shall live by faith. Romans 1:17. Again, for it is the righteousness of God is revealed from what? Faith to what? Faith. As it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. Trust in God. Well, as I said, how does that roll out? Well, let's take a look at our father Abraham. He is a wonderful example. And in fact, the Apostle Paul, led under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, brings Abraham into this picture so we understand how faith grew, how he became justified right with God. But not only right with God, but he continued in faith. So the study of the life of Abraham is of great importance. Why? Because he was chosen of God to become the father of a new spiritual race. Do you know that each and every one of you who has believed on the Lord Jesus Christ is now a son and daughter of Abraham? You are the Abrahamic covenant, which is a covenant of blessing. Apart from the law of Moses and the law, God has made in Abraham blessed the nations and blessed you. And the promise and the calling on Abraham to raise up children. We talked about children here just a little while ago, growing up in Christ. You see, that then was that, that's what Abraham was called to do, begin a whole new race of people. And that's what Christ came to do, to change and come and make a new race of people. Those race of people will be the followers of Christ, the people of God. But there were also sons and daughters of Abraham. So Abraham, again, a seed of faith was planted in his heart, in the garden of his heart by God, when he called them. And he set him on a spiritual journey that led to a people for God's own possession. That's what happened. Abraham heard the voice of God. God spoke to him and said, come out from amongst your relatives. Come out and come into this land that I show you. And you know what he did? He came out. I want you to think of this. On the day that you were born again, you came out. God called you out of the nonsense in this world and called you now to walk with him in a new way of life. So just as Abraham was called, you're called. Each and every one of us has that calling on our life. So you can't say, well, I don't know. Yeah, God called you, you're born again. He transferred you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom. The Father transferred you into the kingdom of his Son. God took you, sat you at the right hand of the Father, of his Son in heaven, who has everything you need. So you'd be in a relationship with him and be able to walk with him, as it says in Ephesians, in peace without fear, in love and peace without fear. Ephesians 1 and 2, verses 1 and 2, 3. So I want you to think about now this whole new life that you have, and it's the beginning of a life of faith. Again, the book of Romans gives us insight to part of that journey of faith. The journey each of us who believe in the Lord of Jesus Christ have been invited to. Nobody will force you to do this at all. You've got to love somebody, and that somebody is God. That's where you have to put your faith. You have to begin with him. Again, it won't be the same journey like Abraham had for all of us. His journey is different than ours. But at the same time, we are going to be on a journey with God, each and every one of us. And that's why we need God and we need one another. That's why God created this thing called the church, the body of Christ. Because we need to be in relationship with God, relationship with one another. We really need to learn how to love, receive love, give love, be love, you might say, that take on that nature of God, which is love, and be able to now minister to one another, encourage one another. Sometimes it's a simple word. It's a smile. It doesn't take a whole lot, but it takes something. We have to, I don't want to say go out of our way, but we have to go the way of Jesus and do what he has done for us. Okay. Now, while living in Haran, he received a message from the Lord, calling him to separate himself from his old associates and go forth into a new country. He was promised divine favor. I'm going to bless you, Abraham. And not only am I going to bless you, I'm going to make a new people out of you, and they're going to be a blessed people. You're going to be a blessing to the nations of the world. And so he took that and again walks out of that, and he has this divine favor. And you can see in the book of Genesis, as you walk through it with Abraham, that God is prospering him wherever he goes. And by the way, Abraham makes some mistakes. Did you ever think about that? Have you ever made a mistake? Anybody here make a mistake? I got both hands up, folks. Come on. Come on. You know we've made mistakes. Now, why do we make mistakes? Because we're human. We're not perfected yet. We're drawn by stupid things, and who knows what causes us to. Sometimes I sit back and I wonder myself, what was I thinking? Have you ever said that? What was I thinking, you know? Yeah, man, okay. So we've all been there. Now, he got the call, he obeyed the call. And as I said before, you received the call from God, the Holy Spirit touched your heart, convicted you of your sin, revealed that Jesus Christ is the only Savior. And when you received him as Lord, we went through what happened to you. He changed you, brought you out of the kingdom of darkness. You're no longer under the power of the devil. Think about that. You're no longer, you can live for God because you have the ability to live for God because the Spirit of Christ is in you. That's simple. When you're born again, you receive the Spirit of Christ within you. We still need this thing called the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but nevertheless, we have the Spirit of Christ within us. Very complicated. I've been thinking on the Trinity for the last few months, and all I can say is this. I said to God just the other day, you know, God, I'm learning a little bit more, but I'm just at the point now, the more I see, the more I realize that I could never understand, but I just need to believe. Because you aren't a human being, your spirit, and yet you're one, you're three persons, and yet you're one. So as far as I'm concerned, the more I look at this, the more I see the unity that you have, and the more I realize I cannot grasp this as a human being. It's not within my capacity to do that. And I think anybody that says they understand, if I give you a couple of things, you just say right away, I confuse you immediately. So no sense in confusing you. We're not here to confuse you. So again, as we look at Abraham, and he starts walking with God in this other land, he comes out of the darkness to the light. But one of the things that happens, he takes this divine call, he obeys it, he got up and he went. Now, maybe some of us need to do that today. We need to get up and go instead of just sitting around waiting for something to happen. If you're just waiting for the Lord to come back and rescue you, I'm going to tell you, you're going to be in terrible condition. I want you to know that. You know why? When he comes back, what's he going to be looking for? You doing what he called you to do. You being a faithful steward of his. Well, Lord, you know, I know you were tough. I wasn't sure what to do. And, you know, I just thought I'd hang out here and wait for you to show up. So take what he has away from him and give it to somebody else. Think about it. When God comes, let him find you doing what he's called you to do, serving him. Okay? Next thing is obedience brings blessing. Genesis 12, chapters 2, 3. Verses 2, 3, 17, 1 through 6. He has a divine appearance from God. Next thing is, there's a delay. He gets a promise from God. From the day he gets the promise to the day it's fulfilled is going to be how long? How many years? 20 years. You will have a son, right? You're going to have a seed, an heir. And is 20 years going to take place before Sarah bears him this child? Now, 20 years is a long time waiting to have a child. And this is where you get into trouble now. See, it's like us. When he's going through all of this, what can you do if God made you a promise that you're going to have children and you're going to have an heir, and you don't have one, and 1 year's gone by, and 10 years have gone by, and 12 years have gone by? We help God. Let's help God. See, because I'm believing God, but apparently God must have something else in mind, and I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. So what does he do? Well, okay. He does a lot of things in that time. For one thing, Sarah is his half-sister, but she's his wife. He goes down into Egypt. He says to Pharaoh, no, this is my sister. And she's sharp. She's probably 60 years old by now. She's going to live a lot of years. But I got to tell you, this is one sharp lady. And she's beautiful. Pharaoh's saying, look, she's looking good, you know. Well, it's his sister. I can make an arrangement with him. I'll get a sister. Pharaoh's house comes under a curse. He got a plague in his home. Everybody's womb dries up in that house there, all of the servants, etc. And finally, he figures out, God speaks to Pharaoh and says, that man, that's not, this is his wife. And the Pharaoh gets really angry with Abraham, and I'm not surprised. And he says, why did you do this to me? So Pharaoh's admonishing Abraham for not telling him the exact truth. Now, you know, he said, well, okay, God still blessed him because God had a purpose for him. And you see, sometimes we make some mistakes, as I said before, but look how God comes into this thing to right this mistake and get him through this and bring him back out. Next, so he denies him as his wife. He gets admonished by Pharaoh. He reconciles someplace in between the dispute. We find something about his character. And we find out that he has a trust in God because when faced with the conflict between his tribesmen and the tribesmen of his nephew Lot, Abraham sits down and meets with Lot, and what's more important to him? He knows God's going to bless him wherever he goes. So he says to Lot, you choose. And Lot looks out, and there's the plains of the cities, and Sodom, it's like almost like the Garden of Eden. It's so beautiful. And so Lot says, I'll go here. And Abraham says, okay, and I'll move on. He didn't lose anything by moving on, because he did the right thing, and God blessed him because he was a man of believing God, that God would bless him because God said he would bless him. And then he makes a real big mistake. I'm sorry, ladies. He listens to his wife, and she decides to give him her servant, Hagar. And see, I'm going to tell you, Hagar's probably a looker too. You know, she's beautiful. And Abraham's not so sure about this, but you know, listen, you're going to have an heir. We're going to do this. And boy, I'll tell you what, that turns into a real problem for Sarah. She winds up having diversion, I should say. Hagar begins to disrespect her. Finally, she has to let her go, and Hagar now is off into the wilderness. Was Abraham? He stayed out of this thing with the ladies. He didn't get it, honey. Well, I'm not. I just did what you said, honey. You know, that's it. You know, which reminds me of a quick story that I just thought about that my wife told me, and it was about a pastor who was found visiting. And he went out to visit his flock, and he came to this house, and he heard movement in the house, and he knocked on the door, and nothing. Knocked on the door again, nothing. Knocked on the door again, nothing. So he took out his business card, and on the back of it he wrote, behold, I came to visit. I knocked on the door, and no one opened unto me. And he left the card and went. The next week in the offering plate, a note came. I was naked and afraid, so I hid. Anyway, we all make mistakes, and that's just a little something there that you can forget about. Let's come back to Abraham. His intercession for the cities in the plains for Sodom and Gomorrah is another thing where we see with him speaking to the Lord. And we learn something about God. He says, well, you're not a God like that. It's not for you to destroy even a city if there was 10 righteous in it. But it wasn't. And the truth, will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? And he said, that's not like you, God. Anyway, there wasn't 10, so the cities got destroyed. And then the fulfillment of his hopes, finally the birth of his son. Great time. And then after that, listen, he's walking in faith, right? He's a blessed man. He has prosperity. He has everything you can think of. And now he has his son. He loves his son. It couldn't be any better. And God says, I want you to sacrifice your son. Whoa, talk about a trial. Can you believe that? And what does he do? By this time, that little seed that was planted in God that was given to Abraham's heart but planted in God himself, grows, has grown to the place where he can go out there, take his son, go up into to the mountains there with him. And of course, God doesn't permit him to sacrifice his son. But he has come to the place that he knows if he did, the promise of his seed to be a blessing to the nations will be fulfilled, and God would raise that son from the dead. And some say the mountain that that took place on, where the ram is caught in the thing, is might be some biblical scholars, the very mountain upon which Christ was crucified. Very interesting. So again, what do we find? How can I say it to you is just thank God for Jesus' suffering and death. His great faith and obedience of Abraham, and that was the faith of Christ himself too, walked in faith, could have changed everything in a moment, but didn't. So finally, the promise comes to this. As it was written, a father of many nations, Romans 10:4. So, I'm not going to go through all of Romans 4. There's quite a bit in there, and you might take a read on that along with those other two verses. But Romans 4:17, as it is written, a father of many nations have I made you. Now notice, there was a name change in there too. He was the father, exalted father, Abram. And God changed his name. He took the new name with no son, with no heir, Abraham, the father of a multitude. And Sarah took a change in her name too, before she conceived. She was Sarai, princess, and now she, Sarah, I can't remember the translation on that, but again, it's a mother of many. And then you go on here to see, in hope against hope he believed, that so he might become a father of many nations, according to that which has been spoken, so shall your descendants be. Without coming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body. He was 100 years old. Looked at his own body, looked almost good as dead, is what it says here. And the deadness of Sarah's womb. Well, my wife hasn't been able to give me a child to this point. Why will it happen now? But it did. See, he considered these things. See, sometimes we see the negative and our faith fails us right away. We can't get to that place. But he saw it and he took the promise of God over it. A father of many nations shall you be. And then it was also accredited to him as righteousness. Abraham was saved by faith through grace. Think about it. That's how Abraham was saved. Now, he's now the father of a multitude, and then yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief. He grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured. This is when faith grabs your heart. It can't not happen. In other words, you've got this thing. And it's going to be because that faith of God is in your heart. And even though you don't see it, even though it's invisible, it exists. See, it's the evidence of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the manifestation or whatever it is of things not seen. Anybody, what's that? How did that go, Tom? Anyway. So what happens here, faith is invisible, but yet in the spiritual realm, it's got substance. It's got substance. I don't understand that, but that's how God made this. But I've experienced it, so I know it's true. And then finally, he gets to the place here where, as he's accredited of righteousness, and then he who delivered over because of transgressions was raised because of justification. That's Romans 4:24. Now this is important, 22. Therefore, it was also credited to him, because he believed, as righteousness. Now not for his sake only was it written that it was credited to him. But for our sake also, to whom it will be credited as those who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. In other words, what Paul is telling us, that the way it worked for Abraham, it's going to work the same way for you and me. It's a blessing to all of us that comes through. And again, it speaks of Christ. One more verse from Romans 5. And this is, I love this verse for a number of reasons. Because the verse is something that helps me often overcome. Because sometimes, you know, you might get angry or upset with something, or something just goes on in your life, and you know you're not just perfectly right with God the way you need to be in your own heart. And so something comes up, but that's when the devil usually hits you, by the way, in those times. But so something comes up, and then what happens is you say, I don't deserve it. And I know there's people in here right now that know exactly what I'm talking about. Here's a promise, but I don't deserve it. So in Romans 5, I'll put it this way. Therefore, for this reason, having been shown to be right or justified, righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained, now notice this, our introduction by faith into what? This what?
Grace.
Into this unmerited blessing, the thing that we didn't deserve and we can't earn. In other words, God's telling us we can believe for what he's given us, that we have no right to, you might say, believe in our own stead, but only because that God made it this way, that he could let us believe for what isn't, we're not worthy of, but receive as a blessing by faith. And again, and not this only, but we exalt in our tribulations, knowing tribulations bring about perseverance. And I'm going to end right there today.